Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one man car. My name is Jesse Romero. Let me start off the show by quoting Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who prepares my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Amen. Psalm 144, verse 1. Hey, family. My name is Jess Romero. We're going to be talking about all things spiritual warfare today on Monday's show. My partner Eddie is doing some apostolic work this morning, so he won't be on the show. First thing I want to talk about is I was looking at my Magnificat this morning, and at the end of today's Monday the 4th, at the end where it says Saint who, it says Saint John Vianney, saints who battle the devil. Saint John Vianney, pray for us. He died in 1859. Here's what it says. Saint John Vianney, he says, if I were to become a priest, little John Mary Vianney told his mother, I would like to win many souls. The Kirivars grew up in a peasant family in France. He spent most of his time helping the family, and at the age of 17, he was still illiterate. He was, however, very devout, diligent, and eager to conform himself to God's will in everything. John was ordained a priest in 1815. 2 years later, he became pastor in the small village of Ars, where he would work wonders of conversion. The priesthood, he said, is the love of the heart of Jesus. He heard up to 100 hours of confessions every week and attracted penitents from many miles away. His successes were marked by the vehemence of the devil in attacking him from all sides, from destroying his rest to temptations to despair and even setting his bed on fire. It is said attacks were often worse before a great sinner came to the confessional. Undeterred, John Vianney nicknamed the devil the Grapper, which means a grappling hook, joking that they were almost chums, so frequent were their encounters. And he used the attack to prove the reality of the devil to his flock. In an encounter with a possessed person, a demon was to tell John, if there were 3 such priests as you, my kingdom would be ruined, close quote. Good and gracious Father, grant us the powerful protection of holy priests and grant us many holy priests. Amen. Now let's move to something more current. Taylor Swift is accused of performing demonic rituals at her concerts. Absolutely. Pop star. And let me close my volume here. There it is. Pop star Taylor Swift has been accused of performing demonic rituals at her concerts during her Eras tour by Irish singer Shane Lynch, who said that the Bad Blood singer might not even realize what she's doing. Shane Lynch said the following. I think when you're looking at a lot of the artists out there, a lot of their stage shows are satanic rituals. I would agree with him. Absolutely. Live in front of 20,000 people without them realizing and recognizing. That's what Shane Lynch told the Ireland Sunday World. The former Boyzone singer, Shane Lynch, added, you'll see a lot of hoods up and masks on and fire ceremonies during these concerts. Shane Lynch says, even down to Taylor Swift, one of the biggest artists in the world. You watch one of her shows and she has 2 or 3 different demonic rituals to do with the pentagrams on the ground, to do with all sorts of stuff on her stage, he said. But to a lot of people, it's just art. And that's how people are seeing it, unfortunately, Shane Lynch added. The Christian also told Sunday World that certain music is a danger to society because musicians are channeling the devil right before everyone's eyes. Shane Lynch also noted that he has personally seen satanic rituals during his time in the music industry that involve praying over albums to ensure they are successful. The former Boyzone singer went on to say that he himself has stopped listening to certain music as he believes that particular beats can have an impact on people. Shane Lynch said, when it comes to a lot of the music that's out there at the moment, more of the hip-hop side of things, there's a lot of hidden satanic and a lot of evil within them, including down to the beats. It's very real. Shane Lynch said, music attaches to your emotions. It has a connection to your spirit and how you feel. That's why I stopped listening to those types of music myself, because it doesn't suit my spirit. Shane Lynch also claimed that certain music is damaging to society in general, especially when it comes to children. It 100% has an effect on society, Shane Lynch said. I think our society has never been worse in many areas, and it starts from the children. Shane Lynch said, it's coming in right at our children from the very beginning to get them to sway away from anything godly, anything controlled or disciplined. It's getting wilder and wilder out there for a reason. Now, this is not the first time that Shane Lynch made this type of claim. In fact, last year, the singer Shane Lynch, he said that Sam Smith and Beyoncé are so demonic, he said, it's unbelievable. You know, Lucifer, the morning star, he was the angel of music in heaven. Lucifer is a fallen angel who was probably the head of the music ministry when he was in heaven. After all, he was the most beautiful, powerful, intelligent angel ever created by God. And since he was the most beautiful of all angels, it stands to reason that he was probably the director of the music in heaven. Why do I say that? I'll prove it to you right now. Lucifer knows the power of music. And there's a tradition that says that when God was creating everything out of nothing and speaking things into existence, there was music in the background. That's according to Jewish tradition. Of course, Lucifer is no longer in charge. But there are several scriptural references throughout the Holy Bible that implies his previous authority over music when he was in heaven. Here's the first one, Exhibit A. Okay? Isaiah chapter 14, verses 11 to 15, the Bible says about Lucifer, quote, down to Sheol your pomp is brought. The sound of your harps, notice what it says about Lucifer, the sound of your harps, maggots are the couch beneath you, worms your blanket. How you have fallen from the heavens, O morning star, son of the dawn, how you have been cut down to earth, you who conquered nations. In your heart you said, I will scale the heavens above the stars of God. I will set up my throne. I will take my seat on the Mount of Assembly on the heights of Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. No, down to Sheol you will be brought to the depths of the pit. But notice in verse 11, it says about Lucifer, it says, down to Sheol your pomp is brought, the sound of your harps. This verse here is speaking of his fall from heaven and how all of the glory and gifts that Lucifer had fell with him. The sound of your harps, that verse indicates that the stringed instruments he had charge over. And there's other passages in the Bible, such as in the book of Job, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, which speak about Lucifer's past life. It tells us he was a minister of music in heaven once upon a time. Yeah. Here's another one. Job 38, verse 7. Job 38. While the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, God created the angels. Notice this. Remember, God created the angels in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, let there be light and there was light. Music played the moment angels were created in the background, according to Jewish tradition. And Job 38, verse 7, once again, it says this, while the morning stars, those are angels, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Those are angels singing and shouting for joy in heaven. Remember, Lucifer was part of heaven's choir. And since he was the most beautiful, powerful, intelligent angel, we can safely assume that he led the angelic choir. Ezekiel prophesied Lucifer's musical acumen as well. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 to 15, the Bible says about Lucifer, it says this, "Thou wast in the pleasures of the paradise of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the jasper, the chrysolite, and the onyx, and the beryl, the sapphire, and the carbuncle, and the emerald. Gold, the work of thy beauty, and thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou wast created." Verse 14, "Thou a cherub stretched out and protecting, and I set thee in the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day of thy creation until iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, the inner parts were filled with iniquity, and thou hast sinned, and I cast thee from the mountain of God and destroyed thee, O covering cherub, out of the midst of the stones of fire. And thy heart was lifted up with thy beauty. Thou hast lost thy wisdom and thy beauty. I have cast thee to the ground. I have set thee before the face of kings that they might behold thee." So notice, in verse 13, Lucifer was basically a walking, talking musical instrument. It says that, "And pipes were prepared in thy day, in the day that thou was created." Yeah, Lucifer was a walking musical instrument. We'll be back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, One Man Car. My name is Jess Romero, talking about Taylor Swift and the way the Hollywood industry has just become totally corrupt in terms of the diabolic music that's coming out in Hollywood. This is something that even actors that are Catholic and Protestant Christian, they're starting to talk about it, or they're starting to sound the alarm. You know, if you don't believe that music can affect culture and society, well, let me share with you some intellectual giants and some wise people. Confucius once said, "If you want to know the morality of a nation, let me hear the music." Wow. If you want to know the morality of a nation, let me hear the music. Plato also said, "Musical training is a more potent instrument than any other, because rhythm and harmony find their way into the inward places of the soul. Musical innovation is full of danger to the state, for when modes of music change, the laws of the state always change with them." Quote Plato. Plato also said, "Lawlessness in music eventually dismantled Athens, Greece." The American philosopher Henry David Thoreau, 19th century, said the following, "Music can be intoxicating. Such apparently slight causes destroyed Greece and Rome and will destroy England and America." Take a good look at what your children are listening to in the name of entertainment. Remember your child's life, and most importantly, his very soul could be in danger. Good music fosters virtue, while bad music fosters vice. Don't tell me watching a Taylor Swift concert you have pious and holy thoughts. For this reason, if the words are bad, then music is especially to be avoided, regardless of whether a person listens or pays attention active to the words. You know, because the human mind is influenced nevertheless, and demons can ignite the passions through music and images. All right, let's go back to our Liber Christo training. Liber Christo is the method used by Father Chad Ripperger and his teams around the country, the exorcism teams, to bring healing and deliverance to a person who is diabolically afflicted, all the way up to possession. Dan Schneider, he redacted Father Ripperger's his methodology in a book, which is called The Liber Crystal Method, a Field Manual for Spiritual Combat. And Dan writes in page 109, he says the following: although the enemy may be pursuing you like Pharaoh's army, the goal of liberation from a demon is your salvation. This is the true land of promise and God's will for you. See yourself at the Red Sea, at the water's edge, waiting for a miracle, as you pray the following prayer. Here's a prayer that Father Ripperger recommends, Dan Schneider, Kyle Clement, for those people. It's a healing prayer. It goes like this: name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, come down and reclaim my body, which was consecrated to thee at my baptism, filling my entire dimensive quantity from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Fill my faculties with thy presence, my senses, memory, imagination, cogitative power, common sense power, intellect, will, and appetites. Take up thy residence in all aspects of my body and soul, leaving no place unfilled, closing off any doors, caves, or portals to the demons, driving them to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, never to return again. Heal my other wounds of, then you name the wounds, and then you end in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, recall from an earlier discussion that a simple definition of grace is divine life, a holy vitality of the life and power of God, which purifies everything it touches. A life ordered to prayer will open you to that vitality. But unless you deeply repent and turn away from sin, the serpents will keep coming back. That's a reference to demons. So, let's go from sling stones to milestones, from repentance and metanoia. Dan writes, and he asked the following questions. Since beginning this program at Liber Crystal, what personal changes have you seen and made in regards to repentance and metanoia? Have you made an about-face in any areas of your life? Number two, what is your reaction to the statement, remember, the demon always works in the objective, but drives us to focus on the emotions? In other words, demons are bound by spiritual laws. That's objective. There's nothing they can do about it. They are completely bound by the spiritual laws that God has put in place. And so they know that if you know the spiritual laws that God has set up, like, for example, living in a state of grace, having authority over yourself and your family in terms of prayer, knowing the prayers to pray, that set time throughout the day, bringing order into your prayer life, adding spiritual warfare prayers to the rosary, to the divine mercy, to the angelus. The demon knows that the imposition of order drives them away. So they want you to focus on your emotions. They want you to always use your emotions as a default. That's what Dan means by the demon always works in the objective, but drives us to focus on the emotions. Number three, is there any inner lie, wound, or cooking up a story that still goes on interiorly to you or between you and your family members? Have you noticed any disproportionate reactions such as anger, anxiety, defensiveness, isolation, or sadness in response to any people or events? Number five, what claims against me is the accuser still trying to make? Are there any areas where Goliath lies to you, thus keeping you afraid and making you retreat? And number six, explain the meaning of standing at the water's edge in a Red Sea moment. We're at a Red Sea moment right now. As Catholics in this country, at this point right now, with the state of the church and the state of our country, we need to repent and we need to beseech God to intervene. Because if we don't, what would have happened to Nineveh will happen to us. And we need a lot of Jonahs out there to call our nation back to repentance before we feel the wrath of God. Let's move on to lesson six. Lesson 6, the Virgin Mary in spiritual combat. A marked characteristic of the Rangers is their adaptability even when facing a well-trained and larger force. One of Roger's rules simply stated, every night you'll be told where to meet if surrounded by a superior force. Following this rule helped a small contingency of Rangers who encountered a much larger force along Lake Champlain in a snowy and cold mid-January in 1757. With the superior in number French force in hot pursuit behind them, the Rangers slipped into the woods and quickly donned snowshoes. With the French detachment slogging through snow up to their knees, the Rangers easily outpaced the enemy and by aid of the cover of darkness, quietly disappeared. In today's military terminology, the ingenuity of the use of snowshoes would be called a force multiplier. A force multiplier. So what does this mean? A force multiplier refers to those operations other than combat which can affect the fight but used generally more to shape the environment and thus effectively multiply the force. In spiritual combat, a primary means by which you can neutralize a superior force is by true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Simply stated, if you lack both a proper understanding and true devotion to her in the spiritual life, you are losing grace and spiritually slogging in the snow up to your knees while your enemy gains ground on you. According to St. Maximilian Kolbe, unfortunately, even among those who have received holy baptism and perhaps also deepened their religious knowledge, there is a significant number of people who can only with difficulty manage to access the heart of the Immaculata, the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, our brother, the Mother of the supernatural life, the Mediatrix of all graces, our Queen, our Sovereign, our Leader, and the Vanquisher of Satan. I want to briefly examine who and how the Virgin Mary is the force multiplier that not only helps in evading the enemy, but also is waiting to assist you in vanquishing him. Make no mistake, we're surrounded by a superior force, but we have a warrior queen, a 12-star general on our side. A bishop recently recounted the story of his former training in exorcism by a renowned exorcist. During one session, the demon manifested and snarled at the exorcist. And he said, I would absolutely destroy you if it weren't for the lady in blue standing behind you. This lady in blue is the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary. The Catechism states that when she, the splendor of an entirely unique holiness by which Mary is enriched from the first instance of her conception, comes wholly from Christ, she is redeemed in a more exalted fashion by reason of the merits of her Son. The Father blessed Mary more than any other created person in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and chose her in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before Him in love. According to Blessed Pope Pius IX, in his declaration of the dogma of the Assumption, her preservation from the effects of original sin, to include even venial sin, was the unique privilege that made her higher than the angels and saints. Flowing from this unique privilege of being preserved from any sin means she possesses a holiness beyond any other human and a power over the devil like no other. And that's from Blessed Pope Pius IX, that the Blessed Virgin Mary has a power over the devil like no one other save God. For St. John Henry Newman, the most common teaching in the writings of the early church fathers concerning the Mother of Jesus is Mary a second Eve. This parallelism, states Newman, is the doctrine of the fathers from the earliest states or the earliest times, and it seems to me undeniable. Therefore, he catalogs the development of the doctrine of the new Eve, both linearly, apostolic, and geographically independent, into a larger picture. Ah. Stick around, don't go anywhere. We'll continue talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary as the force multiplier in spiritual warfare. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one man car. My name is Jess Romero. Talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary as a force multiplier in spiritual warfare. This is our secret weapon here on planet Earth, the Blessed Virgin Mary against the diabolic. For St. John Henry Newman, the most common teaching in the writings of the early church fathers concerning the mother of Jesus is Mary as the second Eve. This parallelism, states John Henry Newman, is a doctrine of the fathers from the earliest times and seems to me undeniable. John Henry Newman catalogs the development of the doctrine of the new Eve, both linearly apostolic and geographically independent, into a larger picture. First, you have Justin Martyr, died in 165 AD. These are all the fathers that called her the new Eve. Saint Irenaeus died in 200 AD. Tertullian died in 240 AD. Of these, Tertullian represents Africa and Rome. Justin represents Palestine, for he had been taught by the martyr Saint Polycarp, who was the intimate associate of Saint John, so of the other apostles. This is to say, long before Google searches and e-libraries, the greatest minds of the early church in the second century all came to the same conclusion in every corner of the world. Mary is to Eve as Christ is to Adam. According to the experience of many exorcists, this lady in blue not only protects them in their ministry, but also is present at every extraction of an evil spirit. She was predestined by God to be with the Redeemer in the defeat of the infernal enemy. St. Louis de Montfort therefore concludes, where Mary is, there the evil spirit is not. Mary's uniqueness, moreover, has shaped the environment of humanity in light of the spiritual combat that ensued after the fall of our first parents. At the moment of her immaculate conception, she was preserved from any stain of sin so that she could give a perfectly sinless human nature to her son. Why? She possesses a holiness beyond all others. Accordingly, her role in the battle against the enemies of her spiritual children is singular. Therefore, as Pope St. John Paul II noted, that when Jesus called his mother woman from the cross, he is showing us that she is the woman whom God said would have total enmity with the seducer of mankind and be with the Redeemer. And what is called the Proto-Evangelium, or the first gospel announcing our redemption. God tells a serpent in the garden that he will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel. Genesis 3:15. When Jesus gives Mary the title of woman Eve, according to Pope John Paul II, this indicates her unique place which she occupies in the whole economy of salvation. She is inseparable from her son. Interestingly, the various ancient versions of this text are unclear as to who will strike, not just strike, but literally will grind down the head of the ancient serpent. The Hebrew version could be he or she, or even they, will crush his head. The Greek says he, and the Latin reads that she will crush the head of the serpent. He, she, or they. What is implied is the unique participation of the woman mother with her son in the conquering of evil. At the foot of the cross, we call that in Latin, stabat mater. This is Latin for the mother stood, referring to her place at the foot of the cross where the ancient enemy was defeated. As recounted in St. John's Gospel, John chapter 19, verse 25, this refers to one of the seven sorrows of Our Lady of Sorrows. Furthermore, St. John Chrysostom connected the parallelism between Adam Christ and Eve Mary in the same homily on the cross as a war memorial referenced. Did you catch that? St. John Chrysostom called the cross as a war memorial. I'm sure Dan will do a deeper dive into that. St. John Chrysostom writes, quote, "A virgin, a tree, and a death were the symbols of our defeat. The virgin was Eve. She had not yet known man. The tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The death was Adam's penalty. But behold, again, a virgin and a tree and a death. Those symbols of defeat become the symbols of his victory. For in place of Eve, there is Mary. In place of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the cross. In the place of the death of Adam, the death of Christ." Do you see him defeated by the very things through which he had conquered? At the foot of the tree, the devil overcame Adam. At the foot of the tree of the cross, Christ vanquished the devil. And that first tree sent men to Hades. The second one calls back even those who had already gone down there. Again, the former tree concealed man, already despoiled and stripped. The second tree shows a naked victor on high for all to see. And that earlier death condemned those who were born after it. This second death gives life again to those who were born before it. Who can tell the Lord's mighty deeds? By death we were made immortal. These are the glorious deeds of the cross. For this reason, a cross is displayed for veneration during the Good Friday liturgy. As mentioned above, the ancient understanding of the cross is that of a sign of victory, a war memorial. For this reason, the demon is repelled by a blessed crucifix. The war memorial includes the weapons of the ancient enemy, which proved useless against his conqueror and our rescuer, Jesus Christ. Thus, this tropion, which is Greek for trophy, this tropion marks the greatest victory ever. And as the high priest, as the priest lifts high the cross, he is proclaiming that the greatest enemy was destroyed here on Calvary. Here, life met death, holiness met sin, light met darkness, and hope met despair in fearful and deadly combat. Here, all the dark forces which have ever sought to crush the human spirit and lead it into their own despair did themselves go down to their final defeat. Here, the new Adam defeated the serpent with the new Eve in complete conformity of wills. An ancient poem commemorating this reality is read on Good Friday. 1,500 years ago, a Christian poet who was one of the last of the old Romans sang the tale this way. Sing tongue of the battle of decisive conflict and of the noble victory possession too. Tell how the world's Redeemer was victorious while he was sacrificed on the tropion of the cross. Tropion, which means a trophy of the cross. Calvary was the setting of the rematch between the devil and the new Adam. The tradition of the church is that Mary was not a passive bystander, but she actively participated with her son in the defeat of the ancient enemy. Where Eve failed in disobedience, Mary triumphed through her obedience. Thus, as early as the second century, Saint Irenaeus exclaimed, "Death through Eve, life through Mary." The Virgin Mary is the vanquisher of Satan. The Virgin Mary holds a prominent role in Catholic liberation, as evidenced by the various invocations of her in commands and rituals used to drive out demons. Because of Mary's unique role in salvation history as a mother of the Word of God, Mary plays a key role in spiritual warfare. The more you understand her powerful role, imitate her example, and invoke her intercession in crushing the head of Satan, as prophesied in the Proto-Evangelium of Genesis 3:15, the more quickly you will begin to drive the evil one back. Conversely, by not invoking her assistance, you neglect a most powerful weapon in liberation. Sacred Scripture affirms that Jesus Christ is the sole mediator before the Father. 1 Timothy 2:5, that is, Jesus, who is both fully God and fully man, obtained the objective graces of man's salvation as a unique mediator who offered himself as priest and victim for us. But this does not mean, however, that we can stand by idly. In fact, Jesus invites our participation in the subjective distribution of Calvary's graces. We most approximate Christ as co-redeemer when we suffer for others as he suffered for us. St. Paul told the Philippians, therefore, to stand firm in one spirit, struggling together for the faith of the gospel while not being intimidated in Philippians 1:27 and 28. The secret to standing firm in the struggle and not being intimidated lies in union with the suffering Lord. As it says in Philippians 1:29, for to you has been granted for the sake of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him. Close quote. He allies this principle to himself elsewhere, where the Lord states, or where St. Paul states, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am making up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. Close quotes. That's Colossians 1:24. Our sufferings, therefore, help distribute the graces that Christ merited on Calvary. In so doing, we uncover a powerful weapon in defeating Satan. That is, we become co-redeemers with Christ in the salvation of souls. All liberation from the diabolical comes by uniting ourselves to Jesus. Did you hear that? All liberation from the diabolical comes by uniting ourselves to Jesus. This is critical. From Christianity's infancy, invoking Jesus' name was used to drive out demons and liberate souls from the power of Satan. In Luke 19:17, Acts 19:13-20, we do not conduct the battles against Satan alone, however, but the battlefield also includes the saints and angels in the mystical body. In the Acts of the Apostles, for example, when face cloths or aprons belonging to St. Paul, what we would call relics today, were applied to the sick, the evil spirits came out of them. In Acts 19, verse 12. Over time, the effectiveness of including the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angels and saints in militating against evil became known and practiced in the church. The Virgin Mary plays a singular role in spiritual warfare precisely because she is Christ's mother and is completely sinless in her human nature. She cooperates as no other creature can with her Son, the Redeemer, in the mystery of redemption. And although Mary is also a redeemed creature, the first of the redeemed, in the most sublime way, she nonetheless cooperates with Christ in a unique and unrepeatable way. Her participation in the acquisition and distribution of her Son's graces is unique and forms her special role in defeating the demon. Did you catch that? The Blessed Virgin Mary's participation in the acquisition and distribution of her Son's graces is unique and forms her special role in the defeating of the demon. We'll be right back. We'll continue talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary, the new Eve, and the power against the diabolical she has.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Psalm 69, verse 2. That's the flagship verse for this show, Jesus 911. Here's another verse that also describes Jesus 911. The spiritual warfare component of our program. Psalm 68, verse 1 and 2. Arise, O Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee from before thy holy face. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before fire, let the wicked perish before God. Amen. We're talking about the power of the Blessed Virgin Mary over the diabolical from Dan's manual, the Liber Christo Method, a field manual for spiritual combat. From the cross, Christ entrusted humanity to his mother with the command, Behold your mother. In calling his mother woman, Jesus points to Mary's special mission of the new Eve, echoing the words of the first Adam, this one she called woman. Significantly, God promised that a woman would accompany the promised Redeemer and participate in the crushing of the head of the serpent in Genesis 3:15. The cooperation of Mary is realized during the very event of redemption, that is, during the earthly life of her Son, and her free consent was necessary for it to take place. Thus, Pope St. John Paul II said that her suffering at the foot of the cross was a contribution to the redemption of all the human race, and was mysteriously and supernaturally fruitful for the redemption of the world. The Blessed Mother's role in salvation history has long been affirmed by the Church, and continues today in her prolific maternal mission as advocate for the people of God. Because of her special relationship with the Holy Trinity, her strategic position in the economy of grace uniquely and singularly impacts the redemption of humankind. Yes, and you'll see why, because she's the mediatrix of all graces. Her motherly care for all is extended to all believers when Jesus commended her to the beloved disciple from the cross in John 19:26. This is the foundation of her person and office seen in the titles of woman and mother that Jesus gives her within the mystical body. Her immaculate heart beats in perfect obedience to the Father's will, to the all-consuming love, to the love of the Son, and to the spousal fidelity of the Holy Spirit. To be a beloved disciple of Jesus, therefore, is to likewise take her into our homes, as it says in John 19:27. That is, into the intimate interior of our spiritual lives. Countless exorcists have affirmed the Virgin Mary's role in liberation. Father Amorth, who spent his entire priesthood as the chief exorcist of the Diocese of Rome, he said this, quote, God has chosen the Most Holy Virgin as a permanent antidote to the enmity between mankind and Satan, close quote. As the new Eve, Mary cooperated in a unique way in the redemptive graces that flow from the supreme sacrifice of Christ, the new Adam, on Calvary. According to the measure to which we appropriate this grace, we are capable of destroying the devil's artifices. This grace is particularly reinforced by our faithful recourse to the special intercession of the Virgin Mary. By virtue of her immaculate conception, Mary stands in clear and absolute contrast, or the total enmity of Genesis 3:15. To Satan's actions and other rebellious angels, she extends herself totally as no human or angelic being does to repel demonic attacks and to expand the reign of the Son. Experienced exorcists, moreover, affirm the presence and action of Mary during formal exorcisms. This teaches us the importance of the true devotion to Our Lady in the fight against Satan. Father Bomonti further states the cooperation of Mary in the victory of her Son over the demons humiliates them more than if Christ defeated them alone. To be defeated by God through the cooperation of a human creature greatly humiliates their bloated pride. The impact of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception means that she has a perfectly sinless human nature. Thus, she is preserved from original sin and its effects by which the demons brought all humanity under their power. The holiness and splendor of Mary elevates her high above all human and angelic creatures. Father Bomonti notes, however, that the demons are frequently forced to praise her for her greatness, as well as the power and divine splendor that shines in her. You know, I sometimes think, without a doubt, the demons are much more humiliated that the Blessed Virgin Mary has been given power and authority over them, because they're not humiliated by the fact that God, the Trinity, has power and authority over them, because they know that God is supernatural, and demons know that they're not. Demons know that they're preternatural. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, she's a human person with a human nature. So humanly speaking, her nature is less than an angel, less than the angelic nature. And the fact that she can defeat them, that Mary, when Mary encounters them and defeats these demons, this humiliates them more than you can even imagine. Father Bomonti notes also that the demons are frequently forced to praise the Blessed Virgin Mary. But what is the theological basis for Mary's authority over demons? Well, this can be found in four Marian dogmas and the doctrine of Mary's universal maternity with regard to the Church's teachings on the Mother of Jesus. Moreover, the dogmas tell us who Mary is, as she proclaimed to St. Bernadette at Lourdes, I am the Immaculate Conception. And doctrine tells us what she does, as she said to St. Juan Diego Tepeyac, I am the one who crushes the stone serpent. I am your merciful mother. The former, the dogma, describes who she was on earth The latter describes what she does from heaven. She reveals both her person, woman, and office, mother, seen in the titles given to her by Jesus, her son, who is God. Both the dogmas and the doctrines find their roots in sacred scripture, but her instrumentality, what she does from heaven, or what Lumen Gentium calls her saving office, is particularly operant in the dogmatic affirmations. So you and I have an office. Everybody has an office. I have the office of father and husband. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, Vatican II says, has a saving office. The four dogmas are as follows: divine motherhood, perpetual virginity, immaculate conception, and the Assumption. Canon law, which is the official law of the Catholic Church, states very clearly that each Christian should have devotion to Mary to foster the sanctification of the people of God. The Church commends the special and filial veneration of Christ faithful to the Blessed Ever Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, whom Christ constituted the Mother of all. The Church also promotes the true and authentic cult of the other saints, by whose example the faithful are edified and by whose intercession they are supported. This is to say, Mary is part of the ordinary path of salvation for the Christian. In addition, theologians distinguish between latria, that's worship, and dulia, honor. Worship is owed to God alone due to some divine excellence, hence we kneel before God alone. Honor is what is owed to a person due to some human excellence, hence we stand before a judge, soldiers salute a higher ranking officer, etc. Mary is not divine and is not given latria. Nonetheless, she is given a special honor for two principal reasons, according to the Church doctor, St. Alphonsus Liguori. Immaculate Conception, she is Panagia, or holy, virginal Mother of God, she is Theotokos, or the God-bearer. Thus, because Mary is sinless and also the Mother of God, the honor owed to her is greater than any other human being. Accordingly, the Church teaches that the filial devotion to her is hyperdulia. Hyper is a prefix denoting over and above, beyond, above measure. This special honor to the Virgin Mary is due to her unique privileges seen in the dogmas relating to her. Because the demon is an angelic being and pure non-bodily intellect, he knows Mariology far better than the best theologian. He knows well the woman who is to crush his head, and as a result, he seeks to convince you that the Church's teachings are wrong about this doctrine or that doctrine. St. Bonaventure wrote that the Virgin Mary preserves the virtue of those who are devoted to her, and she keeps the demons from harming them. Did you catch that? The Blessed Virgin Mary keeps the demons from harming you. What an incredible promise. Sign me up, coach, for the Daily Rosary. Thus, St. Bonaventure states, the devils enter a soul when it is darkened by ignorance, and if the dawn suddenly comes, namely the grace and mercy of Mary, they flee as everybody flees death. According to St. Bernardine of Siena, Mary is also queen over hell and the demons, that she incites terror among the demons as terrible as an army set in battle array. Songs chapter 6, verse 3. Other saints echo this understanding of Mary as a warrior queen. St. Alphonsus Liguori likens her to a general who knows how to deploy her forces to the confusion of the enemy and for the benefits of those who call on her for defense in temptation. St. Louis de Montfort echoed this. Mary must be terrible to the devil and his crew as an army ranged in battle. Principally in these latter times, because the devil, knowing that he has but little time, and now less than ever, to destroy souls, will every day redouble his efforts and his combats. Also, that Satan, being proud, suffers infinitely more from being beaten and punished by a little and humble handmaid of God, and her humility humbles him more than the divine power. Yep, because the devil is pure pride, and the Blessed Virgin Mary is pure holiness and pure humility. Pure humility and the devil's pure pride. God has given Mary such great power against the devils, St. Louis de Montfort said, as they have been obliged to confess in spite of themselves by the mouths of the possessed, they fear one of her sighs for a soul than the prayers of all the saints, and one of her threats against them more than all the other torments. What Lucifer has lost by pride, Mary has gained by humility. What Eve has damned and lost by disobedience, Mary has saved by obedience. St. Bruno. And you know what? We'll wrap it up right here. We'll pick it up next time. We're talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary and spiritual warfare from Dan's book, The Liber Crystal Method, A Field Manual for Spiritual Combat. We will continue talking about this next time. Well, my name is Jesse Romero. Remember, St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. God bless you, team. See you next time. See you next time, family. Love you. Keep the faith. Matthew Arnold up next. Stay tuned. Matthew Arnold.